You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2015 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the Sunday Memorial Service exhortation given by Brother Kyle Tucker, titled, Sunodia, Partners on a Journey.
Good evening, everyone. If you're listening to the words of that last hymn, I can basically sit down. So, I'm going to share a Greek word with you tonight called sunodia. Before I do, I'll tell you a little story. A few years ago, I was preparing to run a marathon. And on a particularly warm Virginia summer day, I had about an 18-mile run to do. And I got a little bit of a late start. And I was going to run, there's several bridges, the James River runs through Richmond, there's several bridges that run across. So I picked out a little route that I was going to park in a riverside park and run down on one of the bridges and run across the other side of the river and then run down and run back across the other side of the river and come back. But again, I got a late start and it was a hot day and I wasn't really carrying any water with me or anything. And so as I was coming across that second bridge, the sun was just beating down, and I really started to kind of fall apart. And I got to the other side of the bridge, and there were I was really dragging, and I got there, and there's two little girls with a lemonade stand. Now, I don't typically run with my wallet, so I've got nothing. So I went up to these little girls, and I said, can I have a glass of lemonade, and I promise you I will bring you some money when I finish my run. And they said, okay. So they gave me a glass of lemonade, and then I said, can I have another one? And they said, sure. They're very gracious little girls, and they gave me two glasses of lemonade. Well, as I continued, I about 2 miles before I got finished, I started to go through the early stages of heat stroke, and started getting dizzy. And even though I was running at a snail's pace at this point, I'm breathing like I'm sprinting, just panting, and my heart's racing, and I'm starting to get clammy skin. And I'm starting to weave as I'm running because I'm getting dizzy, and I realize I have enough presence of mind to realize what's happening. So there was a gentleman passed by in a truck and then went down a ways and pulled into his driveway, got out of his car and went into his house. And so I made my way down to this guy, knocked on his door, and said, "Hey, can you take me to my car? I'm down at James River Park." And he said, "Sure." And he's like, "Get in the truck. I'm that gross. Just put me in the bed of the truck and take me there." And he took me down there and had some Gatorade in the car. And then I went and found the little girls. And they had already packed up their stand, but I tracked them down and found them and paid them. They made good money on that two glasses of lemonade. So, you know, when you're like the parable of the Good Samaritan, sometimes when we're traveling through life's journeys, and this everybody's had this experience, things aren't going so good, and you need some help. You need a companion or multiple companions, and we've always been there, whether it be the loss of a loved one or whether it be an illness or whether it be the loss of a job or a personal problem, an addiction, something. And that's where this Greek word sunodia comes in. This is a very important word to me. I know we as Christadelphians like to talk about Greek words. It's sort of our thing. It's in our DNA. But this is actually a very, very important word to me. In fact, I would tell you so much, it's sort of my philosophy, if you will, about the truth. And it means, in plain English, it means partners on a journey. And that's the way I kind of think about life and the truth, is that we're partners on a journey. And I just don't mean, by the way, I need to be very clear about this, just Christadelphians. I mean, we're partners on a journey with everybody on this planet. And, you know, as some people we're going to walk with, and some people we'll never have the privilege of walking with, but we're all on this journey, and we're obviously all not on the same page, but we're all on a journey. And we need to help each other out. And this is sort of the way I've started looking at things. And so one of the verses that I think that we have as a community have traditionally rested is Amos 3:3. The verse is, and you'll know it readily, it says, probably a lot of you can quote it, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, one of the traditional interpretations within the Christadelphian body of this verse is, can two people walk together unless they agree on everything? Well, if any of you are married, you know, right? I mean, we don't have to be, and so what the verse obviously means is, can two walk together unless they agree to walk together? That's the self-evident interpretation of this verse. And so we've all done that. We've always, you know, said, hey, let's walk together for a little while, and then you're going to go this way, and I'm going to go this way, and that's fine. But the rub on this is, you know, all we have to do is, even for a short period of time, is agree to walk together. And that's really what we're doing here this week, is for the week of this Bible school, the people in this room have agreed to walk together and to help each other out on this journey. We're, you know, going to be hopefully elevated in our spiritual awareness and excited side conversations that we have, and they're all going to help in several times to Manuka, and every time I've walked away refreshed and invigorated by my experience here, and hopefully the same thing's going to happen. So, when we get to a passage like the in this story, you know, this the traditional interpretation of Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they agree on everything, every principle and so forth, makes no sense. We've got a Jew, and they didn't agree on anything. Pretty much societally, they were enemies of one another. But this Samaritan had compassion on this man he saw in the ditch who was naked and bloodied, and decided to stop and help. And that's all it took. This person's motivation for stopping and helping this poor man was compassion. I remember I was driving through a not too great part of Richmond a few years back, and kind of a rough neighborhood, and there was obviously a professional young lady on the side of the road with a flat tire. Now, I'd like to tell you that I'm that guy that always stops and helps people broken down on the side of the road, but I'm not. You know, but this lady, I saw her look at this tire bewildered and in her nice professional suit, and I stopped and changed this lady's tire. Because I was moved with compassion. I thought, if I don't help this lady, something really bad could befall her in this area. And I've had the same thing happen to me. We broke down on the way back from a Bible school time on the side of the road. It was two of us traveling together. And I said, well, you guys go on. So I piled all my family in the other car. And it's pitch black on the side of the interstate. And I'm there working on fixing my car. So this gentleman stops and gives me a jump and helps me. his hand. I said, "You're the man." And he said, "No, but I know the man." I thought, well, maybe this guy's an angel. But anyway, so these are all kind of the physical journeys that we go on. But I'm talking more tonight about the spiritual journeys that we're on. And we need to, I think, be very cognizant of what we're doing with the people around us. I want you to think in terms of the negative for a second. What would be the very definition of a bad travel companion? You know, if there's a pothole or a big hole in front of you, or a log or something, and or maybe a poisonous snake, and they don't tell you, it's not a very good travel companion. In the same token, find a brother or sister that's struggling with whatever it is, an addiction or a personal fault. We're not looking at them to try to catch them in that fault so we can, you know, rub their nose in it. We're there to help. Brother, sister, how can I help you? You know, I don't particularly have this problem, but I've got other problems. And maybe you can help me with those, but let me help you with this. And, when you know, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when you approach people and you know, they genuinely know that you care about them and that you're going to be discreet in your help, most people are more than willing to help, to allow you to help. Sometimes not, but most travel companion who's going along with you get hurt, and this person doesn't care. Sprained your ankle, see ya, I'm going on. You know, that's not a very good travel companion. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to stop, you know, you've probably heard the expression, you know, the Christian army is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. We need to stop that. You know, we need to do what it takes to rehabilitate, to help these people and bring them back and recover them. But that's a good travel companion. That's someone you want to be on a trip with. You know, a bad travel companion is someone who's constantly self-absorbed with their own needs and not interested in what you need. Because as we're going to travel together, we need to help each other out. That's the gist of it. And you know, I might have the car and you've got the money for the tolls. I mean, whatever it is, but we're in this together. We'll help each other down the travel. So, let's talk about something else that's particularly not, maybe not that pleasant to talk about, but sometimes, and I think this is legitimate, we choose not to walk with someone. And I think that's okay. Now, again, if it's just out of self-interest or whatever, but you know, being around people that just drag you down all the time is not healthy. People that are always trying to, you know, encourage you to do things that you shouldn't be doing or whatever. We really don't have an obligation to walk with anyone, not our family, not our ecclesial members. There's some people, you know, that I have the greatest respect for in terms of, you know, their ethics or whatever, that I really don't want to be that close to, brothers and sisters in Christ, because of whatever reason. But there's some people that we need to get over that and be their friends. So there's a couple of examples where it talks about this in scriptures. Mark 5 says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?'" You know, I don't like to be around, you know, people that are more about Christadelphia than they are about God. And I don't even know if you know what I mean when I say that. But I see a lot of heads nodding, so I think you do. You know, I'll make a personal confession to you. I don't attend meetings that are against unity. If you're not going to welcome all my brothers and sisters and all the members of my family, I'm just not going to go. And I'm not saying that's the way to be. I'm just saying that's the way I am. There's some places I just don't want to be, where I'm not comfortable. There's some places I'm just plain not welcome. Another verse, Ephesians 4:17 says this. There's some people that have really kind of abandoned the first principles of the faith. And I have several friends that were very, very close to me that have become agnostic or atheistic. And their morality reflects that. And it's not like I've made a conscious effort not to be close with them anymore. It just sort of happened, because we don't really have those things that drew us together are just not there anymore. So there's not that much to talk about. And so some of my, you know, formerly very good friends, again, I didn't cut them off or anything. It was just sort of happened over time. So, brothers and sisters, let me just sort of summarize kind of what I'm trying to tell you. So this week, we've got an opportunity to walk together. And I hope everybody's looking to see, just to suck the marrow out of this week and get everything you can for yourself, and to make this a great week, a great spiritual building week for yourself. But also, keep in mind that there's people around you. Maybe people that haven't been here before. Maybe people you don't know. Maybe people that are hurting. Maybe people that could use that kind word or that new friendship. Think about those people, because we're going to be together for a week. And I can tell you that many a life has been changed in a week at Bible school. We had a baptism here last year. Many a life has been changed. So be aware of the people around you and the companions that you have on this journey for the week. I'd like to finish up this evening with just a list of things, sort of Christian to-dos, if you will. Very generic, but things that we should be doing if we're going to walk together with people around us. So I'll just read them. Love one another. John 13:34. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By all this shall all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's verses 34 and 35. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor another above yourselves. Galatians 5:13. Serve one another in love. 15. Always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Romans 15:5. Have a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:25, the Apostle Paul said, have concern for each other. Offer hospitality to one another. Mark 9:50, be at peace with each other. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other better than yourselves. Romans 14:13, stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 10:24-25, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Encourage one another. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, encourage one another and build each other up. Jude 20, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Brothers and sisters, I'm really looking forward to walking with you this week.